How are you, Fremantle? Good? So good to be with you. I feel like family, and I'm really thankful. I, you know what? You have some really great pastors, don't you? Stephen and his beautiful wife. And I just thank you for what's going on in your life. Hey. I'm just so thank you for... I've got Niami, Winami. It's like... It's like, it's funny, it's like every time in my life, I think, how can I love more people? And then I meet people and my heart expands again. So it's like their little baby, she thinks I'm their uncle that they never told anybody about, you know. I'm somehow going to get in a family album of theirs and they're going to go, who's that bald white guy in there, you know. I'm in, so... I'm really thankful for them. I'm thankful for what they're taking you into. I thank you that they have faith for the future. I thank you they have vision. Isn't that good to have some good, safe leaders that you have? I don't know if you really get that. You need to lean in. When you really have proper apostolic leadership, like you can take a city. Do you understand that? That there's anything is possible. And part of that is what will come into your life if you start to align yourself with what God is doing in the house of God. Do you know, do you hear what I'm saying? You start to align yourself with that, not just attend church, but align yourself with the vision, align yourself with what God is saying. Take real note of what happens every Sunday on the whatever is announced during the week, whatever's going on. You start to align yourself and lean into that. You'll be amazed at what God starts to do. If I was to say, one of the things I want to say over you is this, alignment. Alignment is to line yourself up so that God can flow to you and through you in Jesus' name. Come on. Isn't that good? I'm excited about this afternoon. I'm excited about this morning. I'm excited about the next service. I'm pretty excited, actually. And it's going to be amazing because it's not really, for me, the real mark is not how many people I prophesy over, but how many people I train to prophesy. You know? Who here has the gift of prophecy? Actually, you know what? You all do. Come on. Who's got to give? Put your hand. If you've never even done it, put up your hand anyway. You need to all put up your hands. I've got it. And you're about to, you know, if you come, you're going to get it. You're going to get unlocked to do that. And some amazing testimonies. I don't know. There's some guys that were trained and they were working in the city. They're just a pair of carpenters. And they were in the inner part of Sydney. I don't know if it's like this, but the part where they were, they've got street wardens who actually book cars. And we're talking about like where houses are, you know, like suburbia in the suburbs. They still book people for parking because of the population and the increase and the amount of people and the amount of cars. They really just don't want people blocking the streets. So these guys are working on a home and they came out to their truck. And of course, there was a traffic person, a lady that was booking them for parking for too long. Now, they were great. Like, they came out, they apologized. They wanted to figure out what to do then if you're working at a house all day. You know, what do we do with the truck? And while they'd been trained, see, and while they were talking to her, one of them felt, excuse me, do you have something wrong with your right shoulder? She looks at them and goes, well, I do. I do. In fact, I've been to the physio this morning trying to sort this thing out. And they said, well, can we pray for you? And she said, only if you can tell me what my name is. She's throwing down. That's cool, isn't it? You know? So they were like, oh, okay. Well, Father, what's the name? And then the other one says, I just feel Mary. She bursts into tears because that's not the name that she goes by. That is her original name. You understand what I'm saying? That's the real name that she was given as a little girl. And so they prayed for her, and guess what happened? Of course she got healed, and they paid the fine. Isn't that amazing? Come on, we're supposed to be salt and light into this world. True. So, and I want to, if I was to say, so you've got the alignment thing, yes? Line yourself up with what pastor is saying. Line yourself up with what Unami prophesies over you. Yes, are you hearing me? Because I want to say this again. Probably here, Unami, you are a prophet. I'm going to say that. Like, you really carry that. And your life is the message, part of that. And if you will watch her, you'll actually get words. If she says something to you, you need to take note to it because it will have a deeper meaning to it. And this afternoon I'll talk about more about the difference between what the gift is and what the calling is, okay, and how that kind of operates. And it's funny when you actually are in the prophetic, you know, and in doing that, I know I accidentally prophesy over people. I accidentally release things over people because it's like that. Who knows? The example is, who knows an evangelist, a real evangelist, not someone who's evangelistic, someone who is an evangelist that actually... It has nothing to do with their preaching. It has nothing to do with the words. It's not like they have a sales pitch. It's not like they have this formula on how to get people saved. I've seen it over and over again. Like, I've got a great friend, Tim Hall, who many times I've been in his meetings, many times I've prophesied over him, and he's been in my church a couple of times, and he's gotten up there and told mother-in-law jokes for 20 minutes. Mother-in-law jokes. And then starts praying for people, and then does an altar call, and like 15 people will come out at the first wave to come and get saved and have stayed saved. Had nothing to do with that. It's because of who they are, not what they say. Are you hearing me? It's more important about who you are, because what you are is what you can give. Okay? So I really want to encourage you with that, is that because... In this season in your life, in this season in this church life, is that, what are you doing here? Who's looking after the children? Are they just all run amok? You've given up. Wasn't she supposed to be with the kids? Oh, well, they're setting the building on fire, or I don't know what they're doing now. It's like, we'll just trust God. Looks like she's not worried. So, anyway, is that it's going to be for you. Say from this season, not just saying winter, but probably it could even last for the next 12 months for you. Let's believe that. It's going to be a God did it season. You're going to think, wow, God did it. Like, turn to your neighbor and say, God did it. God did it. You know, I never thought this was going to happen, and then God did it. I remember just recently in a church that I'm kind of spiritual oversight of in another nation, and they really needed a building. They've been existed for about 12, 15 years now, and they've been bumping in and out of a high school auditorium, about 800 people, and cannot find a building. They just can't sort of, every time they go somewhere or try something, it just does not work. And their pastor, Joel, was like, oh, I don't know. They saved up a lot of money, and it just would never. And I go, listen, mate, the building, it's going to be, God's going to do it. God is going to do it. That's the good part about being a Christian, is that God does it. Is that true? How do you get into heaven? Because you did it? No. Because what? God did it. You're successful, not because you worked the plan, not because of anything, because God did it. You got healed because you changed your diet maybe, or you did some things, but really what happened was God did it. If you've got great kids, it wasn't your parenting, it was because God did it. You got a great marriage, not because you're smart, not because you're super spiritual, it's because God did it. Come on. Is that true? You got over your addiction, you got free, you did all of that. Why? Because, you know, you were disciplined, because you were smarter than everybody else, because Jesus loves you more than everybody else. No. Because God did it. God did it. It's going to be a God did it season for you guys. God's going to do it. What has seemed impossible for ages is now going to be more. It'll blow you away. And so for Joel, he's like trying to find this building. But in the meantime, he's still planting churches. So they went and they planted a church in Japan, Yoko. That's a cool place to plant, isn't it? You know? And while they're over there, a denomination contact him while he's in Japan. Isn't that funny? If you just get on with what God has asked you to do, he takes care of whatever is the other thing. That's a big clue right there, you know. So while he gets contacted by this other denomination who say to him, oh, Joel, you know what? We have this conference center with an auditorium, a few other buildings. But the way our congregation, the way we work now, it actually isn't any good for us to holding our conference. It's not big enough. And this is a 1,200-seater auditorium. It's not that big enough to have all of our churches in at one time. We're wondering if you would like it. And we want some money for it, but we will vendor finance it for you. So give us whatever deposit. It was like, here it is. And they're about two-thirds of the way through renovating it and freshening it up. And is it because God did it? I love it when people have a word for someone and they just think, oh, whatever, and then God does it. So I agree, and part of what we're going to do in the prophetic training this afternoon is what to do with the prophetic, how to partner with God, how to do that. But what is really amazing, even when a prophet operates, you know me, their words don't fall to the ground, even if the person doesn't get it. That's really powerful, isn't it? That's really powerful. So you've got to align yourself. But I want you to really get ready because God's going to do some stuff amongst you. And I want to read this scripture, and like, I've never preached this ever before. Like, this is your message, you understand this? So it might be clumpy in here, and I might not get through it all. I don't really care, but I think you'll get the gist of it. Is that okay? So why don't you put your hand over your heart and say this prayer with me. Dear Father God, oh, this is not golf, guys. Do you understand? This is not golf. This is church. I want you to say this. Dear Father God, speak to my heart in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go to Acts chapter 3. We're going to read the first three verses. Very common recording of what famously happened when Peter and John go to church at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's interesting, isn't it? And it says this, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. And as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called Beautiful. And so he could beg from the people going into the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently. And Peter said to him, "Look at us." And the lame man looked at them and eagerly expected some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I will give you what I have." Oh, now that is a thing. "I do give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." And then Peter took him by the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. And he jumped up. He was being helped up, but then he jumps up, stood on his feet, and began to walk, and then walking and leaping and praising God. And he went into the temple with them, and all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And then they realized it was the same lame beggar that had been so often at the gate, Beautiful. They were absolutely astounded, because what? God did it. Come on, God's gonna do it. Come on, God's gonna do it. What, you know, and we look so many times that we're stuck in some part of our body, that there's some part, I don't know about you, but I've had some lame parts in my life, things that have never worked. But then all of a sudden God comes along and then it does work. All of a sudden God comes along and what was a really weak area in my life now has become a great strength in my life. What seemed absolutely impossible that I would ever stand in front of people and speak is now possible. In fact, it actually is fruitful. It's quite amazing that, you know, it doesn't matter if you've been defeated in your mind, if you've been lied to by your past, you've been crippled by your emotions. See, we sat at sometimes by the gate Beautiful with the possibility. What was so sad about this story is that the tradition is, or even the law, and David was part of making this law. It's really interesting. It was like, crippled people were never allowed in the temple. Aren't you glad those days are over? So even though he was there, he was not in. And I feel like maybe there's some people here this morning that you're close, but you're not in. There's something that separates you, your past, your emotions, your thoughts. Let me tell you something. Lying thoughts, lying emotions, they're the things that really keep out of most of what happens in our life and God. It's the truth that sets us free. And our mind needs to know truth and our emotions need to know truth. I know that we talk a lot about getting our mind right, but reality also, what that also is meaning, is actually getting your emotions to line up. I need to feel what I should feel. Who knows that our emotions are a great servant, but they are a terrible leader? I'd say I've got you all on board by that, because you've all... Who's ever had those lying emotions? Who's actually felt like God is not there? That's a lie. Can you see that? It's like, oh, I just don't feel God. Well, yeah, so? It's like a lot of praise and a lot of worship and a lot of things that happen is really just what we're doing in a service, is actually getting your emotions to swing around and go, oh yeah, God's here. And if I desire to, I can actually feel that he's here. We'll talk a little bit about that in the training. In Hebrews it says, by reason of use, those who are mature have their senses trained to discern good and evil. That you can feel what you should be feeling. But often we get stuck in that and we get crippled by that. But you know what? I'm believing today that God's going to do something in that area for some of you. I hope all of you, in Jesus' name, you know. So, and it's quite amazing, and because I want you to sort of play, some of you are both Peter and John, and we are the cripple in this story. You know, I'm praying that you go from being the cripple, that you go to being Peter. That you're the one who sees the opportunity. You know, how many people do we walk past that are crippled? How many people do we pass by and meet and they're asking something, hoping for something that will give them one thing, when actually we actually had the absolute answer for them? True? The absolute answer for them, if we're really willing to engage in that and to really... Just coming to mind, man, I remember a testimony of a police officer who learned to hear the voice of God. And it's quite a dramatic story, because he'd been called into... a child had been abducted from a bus stop with other children there. It was like weird. He said it was so strange. The other kids didn't even see. He was there one moment and then he was gone. Vanished. And so, of course, things were set in motion. He'd come and they tried to talk to the kids. The kids were like, well, he was here and then he's not here. We don't know. And then he even felt, when he was interviewing the parents who were distraught, he said, that he just said to them, you know, I'm going to find your son. And the other officers were all like, we don't promise that. You don't say that. Anyway, he went to his car and he drove down the road and he said, Father, you know where this kid is. You show me where this kid is. And just as he was waiting on God to show him, a car drove past and he felt sick in his stomach. He said, I was fine. Then all of a sudden I felt like this. Ugh, what is that? And he looked up and he noticed this car go past. Pulls out, goes after the car, pulls it over. Look, comes up behind it, looks in, and it's empty except for this driver. One person in it, no kid. And so feels sick. And this, you know, understand? Just someone went past. Someone went past him. And of course, he pulls him out and he says, can you open up the boot? And guess who was in the boot of the car? And he says, I'm wide-eyed, the kid's wide-open, and believe me, this guy is really wide-open. He actually got an award for that as the best police officer in the city. Of course, he couldn't really explain how he did it. He said it was funny. The detective came up to him and said, so how did you, like, what did you do in order to figure out that that was the car? Oh, I just asked Jesus. No, we can't put that down. But who knows what you are going to disrupt? Who knows what you got? If you just learn to, like who? And it's kind of, you hear when you read or hear messages about this particular part of Scripture, is that how many times Jesus would have walked past this guy? How many times the disciples had walked past guy? But on this particular thing, you need, it's almost like, do you understand that you're going to be the right person at the right time with the right word? Come on. Say, that's me. That's me. That's me. Like, do you understand that, and it's been said in our nation and in other nations, that there's going to be more miracles happen outside our buildings than inside them. Do you believe that? And that's because you're going, come on, Charlie, that's true. And you will see them. Like, Charlie, you've got a gift of faith on you, a gift of faith that has always been with you, and I can sort of see you pointing to those situations and healing people and seeing the room. Not just being kind, not just being good, just not that guy, but actually truly walking in the power of what God has called you to do. Like the real power of that, to speak to that in Jesus' name. I think God's going to, you know, the words of knowledge, and it's not going to just be words of wisdom, but it's going to be real healing words to people in Jesus' name. Like, and you'll see the miraculous. You will see the miraculous. I'm going to believe it, that the shelter, that there's just going to be a wall. And I've seen this in churches, a wall full of crutches and bits and pieces and stuff nailed to the wall. Come on. You know, all sorts of stuff. You know, I can even see people getting out of debt and all sorts of like miraculous things happening, getting jobs, getting all sorts of things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I can even see, you can say this. I'm going to even believe that people, when they first get their first paycheck, they're going to give it to you. Because of what you did. And they're going to honor the prophet. They're going to honor what you said. They're going to honor what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Who would like that? Come on. Well, pray for people. You know, it's quite astonishing, isn't it? You know, it's quite funny. The amount of people that you pray for that are sick, the amount of people get healed goes up. Have you noticed that? The more people, if I pray for the sick get healed. If I witness to people, people get saved. If I start prophesying over people, it's the more, if it's like the trajectory of people's lives change. Are you getting it? If you do it, it's amazing what will happen. Anyway, that's not what I'm sort of into it. But isn't it funny? Like, this guy had been like this forever, you know? he'd never, look at this, he'd never known what it was like to stand on his own feet. Never known what it was like to be accepted. Never known what it was like to succeed. Never known what it was like to just make progress in their life, you know. For some of us, it's like we were born in pain. We were born in dysfunction. We were born into poverty. We were born into trauma. And this cycle we didn't choose seemed to choose us, eh? But then God did it. God did it. You know? Like my dad, on my dad's side of the family, they're criminals. Like my dad was actually born in prison. And there's violence, there's all sorts of crazy stuff going on. And it just would have been, and you hear the stories, and it was really funny to hear my uncle and my dad tell stories of their little delinquent childhood and the craziness of what they used to do and how they were known by police and they were known even by the fire brigade. You know, that's when you're really doing stuff, hey. Those Newman boys, I bet you the Newman boys did this. But then, you know what? The Wesley Mission started in Sydney, started feeding street children, started feeding kids. And my dad found out that you could get a free meal, brought his younger brothers and two sisters along to this to get them food. And someone just showed them kindness and love. Showed them, this is a funny story. They heard hymns for the first time. They heard praise and worship for the first time. And they loved it. And they learnt the songs. And they found that if the four of them sang a song outside the pub, I can't remember what it was, in Balmain, they'd get money. And then God saved each and every one of them. Their mum, my grandmother, my dad, my uncle, Auntie Jenny and Auntie Kathy, all gone to be with the Lord now. with the Lord. Because God did it. Or because some guy decided he'd start making soup for beggars. And God did it. Quite amazing. And it broke poverty off our family. Uncle Jimmy became a millionaire printing press owner. My dad stuttered all his life because of the violence. And let me say, up until he was about 50, and then God did it, broke all the trauma and all that stuff off his life. For many, see, they were stuck in a cycle of poverty and violence and jail and all of that. And probably my brother and I would have been still in that cycle, but God did something. Come on. You stopping, taking note, like just that little inkling. You know when you know how people in the shopping center get your attention, go, well, what's this about that person? That's God. Do you understand that? And who knows what that would lead to if you're willing to go say hi, or can I help you? Are you okay? Or have you got a sore shoulder? It's like, I did that. It's like kind of, when you get used to it, it can become actually normal. I remember our mortgage broker, Ashley, came around to see us. She's a little dynamo. She's a little Lebanese firecracker. And she's amazing. She spent $7,000 on handbags in Hawaii once. $70,000, sorry. I know, she's crazy. So she's sitting, and all of a sudden I feel like, I go, Ash, this is really weird, but have you got a sore shoulder? She goes, yeah, and she's like, and it's all strapped up. Pray for her, she gets totally healed. She comes to the next meeting, and I say, hey, Ash, do you want to have children? Bursts into tears. We just can't seem to have Ryan and I. It just doesn't, you know, I've been to doctors, it's not happening. Oh, let me tell you something, let's pray, Ash. Three children later, she's like, can you turn this off? Because God, did we do it? No, God did it. People that are stuck in a cycle, even wealthy people that can be stuck, broken, lame. And we think, and they get used to, and they, like he was carried, he even invented a system, a support system to sort of, so he could survive during that. But, you know, life does not always have to be this way. Is that true? Come on. If there was ever a word you had to say to someone, you can say that to them, that your life does not always have to be this way. That's a word. Come on. Your life does not always have to be this way. And that encounter changed everything, because he said, you know what, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have. Now that's very, very powerful. What I do have. Who I have. And that makes all the difference. That makes all the difference, is who you are and what you have because of who you are. If there's anything, and Pastor Steve and I were talking about this, is that identity is really the core issue for us. To understand that. That if you were to really know who you are, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Yeah, rain would really fall on you. All the heavens would open up. Nothing would be impossible for you. Is that true? Yeah. If you really knew who you are right now. In fact, discipleship is really only peeling away the lies and peeling away the pain and peeling, just to reveal what you've always been. And salvation is the restoration of what God's plan was, always has been for you. And so I'm kind of, let me say this, it's this whole snake oil thing within the church of like, you need to receive something, is actually false. That you need some blessing, you need someone to lay hands on you, that you are somehow lacking in something when you have Jesus. That's not true, because it's not like Jesus and some magic thing. If you got Jesus, you actually have all you need plus. Is that true? Come on, is that true? Then stop acting like a beggar. Then stop acting like, oh, I just need some magical thing. You're like some some prophetic word or some prayer or some conference I go to and I find some magic formula. What you need is just to understand who Jesus has always made you to be. If anything, to find out that's that. I think that's why I love the prophetic. That's why I champion it, is because often what the prophetic often does is reveal to a person who they are. And really, that word just breaks open. It doesn't actually come upon them, if it were, like Old Testament. It actually shows you who you've always been. Do you understand you're this? Do you understand that you are a prophet? Do you understand you are an apostle? Do you understand that? And keeping on reminding people, do you know who you are? Because so this guy had really built an identity of who that was. But he goes, you know what? In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he didn't just speak the words. This is what he really did. He released the power. The kingdom of God is voice activated. Way before Siri. Way before Siri. Way before Chat GPT. The kingdom has always been voice activated. The most powerful thing about you, believer, is your voice. Because if you can really understand that God is with your voice, and if you really look into it, when you align yourself with God, when you actually let heaven activate you, when you actually hear downloads from heaven, when you abide within Him, now if you like, your frequency starts to happen. There's a word, I can't remember it. I was looking up, that's why I'm always amazed that God uses me. Is that there's a scientific word, is that two different elements can actually start to line themselves up and operate at the same rhythm. The simple example they gave is like when you play music, dance starts to happen. We all start to get in sync. We all start to line up with that. We weren't doing that before, and then all of a sudden our whole body starts to get in rhythm or in sync or vibrate at the same frequency as the song. The same as your spirit wants to align itself with the Spirit of God and have your frequency, your voice, be the voice of God to people. Oh, silver and gold I don't have, but I have this frequency. If I say something, it's going to happen. Well, now you're really operating. Come on. When we understand that, we just that he released and he declared it in the name of Jesus, and every limitation bowed. Or his whole world. It wasn't like this. I can remember there's a lady in our church. And you know, in church life, people, and I was saying to Pastor Unami, is that we just see a lot of people get healed in our church for some strange reason. Probably just because sick people come, you know. But it's quite amazing to see. It's almost like we put it on the chair praying, and like the prayer chain. It's like, okay, let's just put that in there, knowing that a healed person's going to come out the other end of that. I don't think we're apathetic about that, but it's a pretty well a taken. Like we know, okay, let's pray for this person. And there's such expectation amongst them. I think our church actually thinks they heal people. Some of you got that. I think you could do that here. You know. Anyway, we'd met this girl, her name is Debbie, and we'd met her and her girlfriend at a social thing once. And it was actually pretty funny, actually. And I don't want to make fun of that or anything like that. But you know the situation that she was in. Anyway, for about 3 months, her whole immune system collapsed. And she was getting rashes. She was getting some terrible things coming back to her. And she was in ICU. They weren't really sure what was happening to her blood. That's what the issue was. She hadn't been out of bed in like 8 weeks by that stage. And I was asked, well, Susie told me, You need to go and pray for her, Mars. Like, it's like the prayer, it's not work, the prayer, it's not working, so you need to go and lay hands. Yes, Susie. Who knows, that's a smart thing to do, Charlie. Yep. So I go in there, so I'm riding in, because like I ride a motorcycle, I don't have a car. And not because I can't get one, I just like the motorcycle better. And so I'm riding in, and it's like the Lord, it's like my cone of silence, it's like my little environment in my helmet. And the whole time there, the Lord says to me, with Deb, what do you want to do? And I was like, oh, okay, God. You know what, Lord? You know how really healthy people glow? You know they've got this glow about them? They're like a little shiny button. Do you know those sort of people? Let me see one. You know me, you're a good example. Steve's a very good, he's really shiny. He's like very healthy looking. He's nothing wrong with him, he's just always healthy. You know the shiny, good, glowing thing. I said, Lord, I want them like a, I want Deb to be like a shiny button. Okay, let's go do it. So I pull in, we go up to her, I get, you know, the gowns and all of that, wash and go in to see her. And she's a bit, you know, and she's like this. Oh, bless you, Pastor Mars. Like, she's like the lesbian saying to me, bless you. Anyway, I thought that was funny. Because she was being condescending. She was like, oh, okay. So I said, Deb, I've come in to pray for you. And she goes, oh, bless you. I said, no, you don't get it. You're going to rise up out of this bed and you're going to be like a shiny button. You know, like those really healthy people? And she's like, oh, okay. Bless you. So I said, look, Deb, I know you've got sheets on your toes, so I can touch. I'm just going to believe I can touch your feet because you're going to get healed, okay? So I just held onto her toes and I just prayed. I thank you, Lord Jesus. You're going to raise her up out of here and she's going to be like a shiny button. And then staff came in, like, you know, interrupted. She wanted to do something. I said, all right, Deb, I'm out of here. Anyway, and then I had to go somewhere. That was like a Friday morning, and then I flew out somewhere to go do this somewhere. And Susie rings me Sunday afternoon. She goes, Muzz, have you heard about Deb? How am I going to hear about Deb? You know, how is that going to go? Muzz, she goes, you know what? The very next day, she is demanding to be let out of bed. They've actually had to put her into physio to get her legs all functioning because she's up. Oh, okay, you're not that excited about that. Like, this was a person on the bout, like, she is dying. Like, she's red raw with a rash because her blood has gone poisonous. It's like nuts. And now she's a shiny button and she's freaking out. And she's freaked out the staff because, no, you've got to unplug me out of all of this. I want to learn how to walk again. I want to get up on my feet and I want to get home to look after my children. She was out in 3 days. Come on, from ICU to out. Come on. Is anybody excited about that? Come on now, that's the, yeah. Because it's like that. It's like, it's not some formula. It's actually releasing what you have. And believe me, I've got no more than you. You understand that? No more, you know? It's just that I found that if you just will do it, if you'll just speak it, and it's like Peter, not only did he speak it, but he acted upon it. He actually, like, this is a done deal. I'm going to lift you up onto your feet. Like, there's one thing to say a thing. There's another thing to actually put an action to it. There's another thing to actually do a confession, but then submit to what you're actually believing for and align yourself with it and actually do something that does that. Ooh, does that. Amen? And then there's this radical. And then there's the aftermath of this, which is crazy. Because then all of a sudden, the person that was now lame is now not only they're leaping, like, yeah, they're leaping. They're not just moving. They're not just shuffling. They are leaping. They are out of control. So the man just didn't get up. He leapt. And he didn't walk slowly into his blessing. He ran into it. See, when God touches you, it won't be halfway. It's not a half healing. It's not a half thing. It's a full body, full life, full heart healing. That's a healing. It's not a recovery. It's a healing. It's a miracle. Okay? And that's what I'm believing God, that God is going to do it. And of course, the testimony of all of that is that, well, it says that everybody was around him. They were all amazed. They were all amazed because they knew this guy and now he's not like that. You see this over and over again throughout Scripture is that when you touch one person, Everybody who knew that they were like this can't deny that they are now like this. I got a friend of mine, a Salvation Army officer. Oh, they're coming. There's the hint right there. Is the Salvation Army officer, and he got sent to a part of Ryde, which 80% of the police budget was spent on this little housing commission community. 80% of a city's budget there. And he asked the police what he could do to help that. Now, guess the first person to get saved with Craig, the first, now he's one of the most Pentecostal guys I know. Like he's a Holy Ghost rolling drunk. He's crazy and he's a Salvation Army officer. I think William Booth would be championing him. And the first person to get saved was a 150 kilo bipolar lunatic that used to terrorize one of the blocks of flats, running up and down the stairwell in his wife front underpants. A full-on demoniac going up, like just terrorizing this block. He was the first person to get saved. Completely healed, completely delivered out of all his stuff, completely in his right mind. And every Sunday afternoon, Craig and this guy, this is one of the first things, once he got this guy saved, he and this guy would do just sausage sandwiches in the park, which was no grass on it. But he says, we set up a barbecue and this guy cooked the barbecue. And people just filtered down to see this guy in his right mind, fully dressed, sane. And they were amazed. Within 3 years, Craig got an award by the Ryde police because now they hadn't, for the last 8 months, so 3 years in, for 8 months, they hadn't received a 000 number from that community. Are you hearing me, church? God is going to do amazing things with you. Amazing things. You here in the hoodie and the great haircut. Amen. Look, you are a firecracker ready to go off. Come on, you just need to go off. You know what I mean? Like, you just need to, I can see how confident you are, how bright you are, how smart you are, how joyful you are, but there's miracles inside you. The power of God is resident within you. You know, and you got to let God set you like the wick. You got to like get upset about something like Peter does. Like, well, you know, you're asking me for this, but this is what I'm going to do. And get on with God's agenda for people and not pleasing them. Are you hearing me? In Jesus' name. Come on. Where is this? Oh, you're there. Where's your boyfriend? He's not in the room anymore. Oh, he's up the back. Oh, there he is. Listen to me. Like, it's a season of being relaxed. Like, I see you being, even when I saw you, I thought, oh, this is interesting. It's like God operates in heaven relaxed, Dallas Willard. I can see you actually having all these opportunities come towards you, but you're going, nah, yes. And all the pressure coming off you, it's like this new grace, that's the word, a new grace to operate relaxed in Jesus' name. Like a new ease to how you do stuff, you know. Like, you know, it's not saying you're retiring, I'm not saying anything like that. In fact, you might not ever do that, as in a sense. You always be doing something, but do you understand? Like this new grace and this new no more pressure. God, if it's pressure, it's God. If people are pressuring you, it's not God. Okay? Some people need pressure, but not you. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's like this. Is it okay if I just have a few words for some people? Yeah. Helen. Oh. Is this Helen? Is this? It's like, you know, there is something about, it was funny that we're talking about your daughter and your granddaughters. It's like, this is always, it's really interesting. In Jewish culture, the blood is always through. You're not really Jewish unless your mum is, you know? And it's like, there's been, and it was like, the promise had to happen through Sarah. And you're like that. There's like promises that have been, it's like the women in your family have always carried something quite amazing of God and of favor and of power and of authority. And like God is with them. God is with them. Even if some of them have not recognized it, but it's all flowed down to you and to them. And you've got to understand that. There's something in, you married, that was a good day's work marrying this girl, hey. It was good. And you've got to understand that there is real favor on you. There's favor on your daughters, and there's favor on your granddaughters. And there'll be favor on, it'll just keep going until Jesus comes back. And if you start to understand that and speak that to me, like, and it's not arrogance, like, God is with us. God is with us. Do you understand? Like, it's like, it's almost like how those patriarchs operated, like the God of Isaac, Jacob. Yeah, those three. But what really happened was that was their wives that made that happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Without those specific girls, and you look at the scripture, those specific girls were so key to having that lineage happen. And whenever they tried to have children without those girls, it was pear-shaped. True? I'll let you work out the rest of what that means, okay? But that's pretty cool. The young guy here is bored out of his skull. I can see you standing up and yelling at your enemy. Like, you really yelling at the enemy. Like, you really, like, defying, like, almost like David did with Goliath. He says, he yelled at Goliath. He says, you come with me with javelin and spear, but I come to you in the name of God. And I'm not gonna kill you, but I'm gonna kill all of them behind you. It's like you're operating like that. It's like you're gonna learn to, like, really not be intimidated, not be fearful, and to really know your authority. What's your name? Aaron, like the priest. That's a really good name that prophesies over you all the time. Hey, you know that Aaron was meant to bless the people. In other words, stop cursing. You know, like, stop curses on people. You are going to do that, Aaron. You're going to break curses off people, and you're going to cause blessing to flow in Jesus' name. You're going to shout at your enemy, you know, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And let me tell you something. If I have words for people and it resonates in you, steal it. Cool. Who wants to shout at your enemy? That's true. Do you need to do that? I'll do this before we got to go because we've got to get to the next service. But if it's not a condemning. I'm not condemning you. But who feels like you're like kind of early part of arthritis? Like you're feeling like, oh, I think that's coming on me. I think that's arthritis. Who's that? Oh, yeah, there you go. Stand up. You might have arthritis, but you're also like, is something going on? Is that you? Yeah, stand up. Yeah, stand up. Sorry. I could come down and lift you up if you want, and you could go, you know. Anyone else? No guys. Okay, that's interesting. You might, oh, you, okay, we'll let carpal tunnel then in, okay. Oh my gosh. Cool. Well, how about we stretch out our hands to these people and let's just believe that God's going to heal, because He's going to. Father, we release it. Father, we just release healing, virtue into these hands, into these knees, into these feet, into this neck. Father, into these hands, these wrists. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we just let healing flow. We let whatever's been stiff, whatever's starting to be painful, go in the name of Jesus. Let healing manifest in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, bless you, gang. It's good. Oh, I've got 15 more minutes to do boom, boom, boom. Oh, we can do boom, 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 boom. Who's here? You have three children. Who's got three children here? Stand your feet. You've got three kids. Oh, yeah, that's you. You got three kids. Amen. Well, Father, you got three kids. Oh, yeah. You have three adults. Is that God is going to, let me tell you something, God's going to give you words for each and every one of them. God's going to give you a word to each and every one of you. And let me encourage you to write that down and give it to them. To actually give it to them and to prophesy over them. Okay? God's going to show you their future and God's going to show you who they really are. It's always been in you who they really are. And the trajectory of that will change its life. It's their life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The lady with the awesome pants up the back. You know, great pajamas, hey. you, you, didn't wear the top with it? It's just, nah, okay. Listen, dummy, look, you know, when I look over there and I see you, like, I don't know if you're a good cook. Are you a good cook? You try. No one's died. You haven't poisoned and no one's got sick. Yep, that's good. That means you're a good cook. Is this, darling? I see you feeding people, but not just practically, but spiritually. I see you actually nourishing people and providing for people. And you are a resource. You might not feel it right now, but you are a resource for all sorts of things for people in Jesus' name. Amen. You're not poor. You're not broken. You're not any of those things. In fact, you're prosperous and you're wealthy and you just don't know it yet in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's good to see what God... The thing is, I don't want to use up all the words because we're going to have so many words this afternoon. You know, is that... Okay, I'll go there. It's like, who's got sore feet? You've got sore feet. Maybe you've got an injury or something. Some of you are checking your feet. Some of you, your feet are at the end of your legs, yeah. Who's got sore feet? Someone's... Oh, you've got sore feet. Have you really? Oh, okay. Or for how long?
Always, like Bob said, but
always.
I fractured my ankle.
Oh yeah, that's it.
A couple months ago.
Oh wow! I was going to give a testimony about that. So let's just pray for her, Father. With this one?
This one.
So Father, we just pray for right now. What's your name again?
Abriella.
Abriella, what a name! What does that mean?
Wisdom of God.
Oh,
I
wow.
think. Right?
Yeah.
She's
checking. So, Father, we just pray for wisdom of God that, Lord, you'd heal this foot and this ankle in Jesus' name. You'd heal it. You'd just make it absolutely perfect in Jesus' name. Amen. It was funny. I felt I was going to give up. I broke my ankle once on a motorcycle, but I didn't know I'd broken it. It was just like a bit sore. And I go to put my shoes on in the morning, go, oh, that hurts. Susie says, what'd you do? What's wrong? And I said, came off my bike, you know, which I didn't want to tell her, you know, because she would bar me from it. So she goes, well, you need to go check that. Who knows what you've done? When did you do that? So about a week ago, but I get Pastor Bernie to pray for me, my friend. I said, it's going to be fine. So I go in to get it x-rayed, you know, and I go in, then the radiologist, she goes, so what have you done? I said, oh, everybody thinks I've really hurt my ankle. How'd you do it on a motorcycle? Oh, you're our best customers, you know, so get up here and I'll x-ray it. And she looks at the image and puts her head around the screen at me and goes, so when did you do this? I said, oh, I think 4 days ago. She goes back in. She goes, I'm going to put the image up on the screen in front of you. And she goes, can you see this half line? Like that little blur. And she's put her finger out like, see that? That's an old break. Like that's been completely broken all the way through, but now it's almost completely healed. Like when did you, she just wanted to know, so when did you do this? 4 days ago? No. She's like, no. No. You must have broken this like 2 months ago. Praise God for Pastor Bernie, hey. Come on. Let me tell you something okay. Who feels like they are stuck? Be honest. Who feels like you're stuck once you stand your feet? Feel like, you know, maybe financially stuck, maybe ministry stuck. It's okay, just be honest, you know. Confession is a really good thing. It's not, there's no judgment here. I've been stuck many, many, many times. Very good. Bless you, mate. Bless you. Yeah, stand up. You know, when we're humble, when we just admit it, it's like God gives grace to the humble. You know? I don't know about you. If you're really smart, you just stand up for everything. Just stand up for everything. Go, God, I just want it all. Amen. Thank you. Well, Father, I just thank you for the, you know what? It's like you here, brother. You're not being passed over. You're not being passed over. You know. In fact, God is looking for you. It's like, you know, when Saul, when he started off so good, it says they were looking for him, and he was with the baggage. So, Father, I pray that you shoo my brother out of the baggage and let him be the... It's like there's this kingship thing on you that's meant to operate. Do you know? It's kind of like, you know how there's... You hear all these stories of these princes that got misplaced. You know, the prince and the pauper. You know, all those things. Even like Tarzan is a lord who gets lost in the jungle, you know. But he's always that. And he becomes that in any case. He still rules, no matter if he's put in the jungle, Tarzan. So, Father, there's a word. Hey, there you go. So, Father, I just thank you that he rules, that he rules, that he rules in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. No longer a lost prince, but God operating in his authority, operating in his power in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister over here, it's like, it's funny. Like when I see you there, it's like I see a nun. Well, this is really weird. But you know what? One of the most joyful people I ever saw was a nun running through LA airport with a guitar. Isn't that the weirdest thing? It's like she was like laughing and running with her guitar in her habit. Do you play the guitar? Oh, wow. Here we go. You weren't that nun, were you? Have you been to LA? You're out of uniform. And this is your husband. I don't know how you're going to explain that. But I tell you what, God's going to start, you might feel stuck, but let me tell you something. It's like I can see you flying, I can see you soaring, I can see you lifted up, okay? And there's been like all the heartache and all of the disappointment is going to just, it will look like, the psalm says that when we really see glory, it'll seem like all the suffering is incomparable with the great gain that we're going to have because we have Jesus. Amen. The gain. It's like the Lord wants you to look forward, darling. Look forward with hope. Look forward that God's going to restore, that God has even better than whatever the enemy has stolen, whatever was being taken, that the enemy, it's nothing compared to what he's going to repay you back with in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This like our Arab friend here, Yasser Arafat, good to see you in the meeting this morning. Do you know Yasser Arafat? Who remembers Yasser Arafat? I met some missionaries in Palestine, in the Gaza Strip, only to tell me that Yasser Arafat's mum got saved, a spirit-filled, speaking in tongues Christian. Wouldn't that just drive him nuts? Oh my gosh. Let me say that, you know, that there's been people praying over you. There's been people praying for you. Even now there is praying for you. And you know, Elijah thought he was the only prophet left. He was the only one. But God said to him, you know what, there's 7,000 prophets that haven't bowed the knee. God is doing for you, brother, 7,000 things. This is for all of you. God's doing 7,000. There have been more than 7,000 things you don't know about. God is doing 7,000 things that you don't have got no idea what he's doing right now for you. You could say it like this. He's got 7,000 intercessors praying on your behalf. He's got 7,000 angels working that for you. Come on. Come on. Isn't that amazing? I don't want to go any further. Is that cool? I think we're warmed up enough, hey? Plus, I want to leave some words for the rest of you to do in Jesus' name. But it's going to be fun, hey? Who's excited for today? Who's excited to go find the first leper or the first cripple or the first, you know, sick person? Heaven help whoever you see in the shopping center or wherever you're going to go next or anybody you're going to see. You're going to release power from yourself in Jesus' name. How about we stand? Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this church. I thank you as they align themselves with what you're doing, greater and greater things are going to happen. And I thank you that it's going to be a God did it season. I thank you for testimony after testimony after testimony of confessing and proclaiming, man, God did it. I thought my kids would never come back to you, but God did it. I thought I'd never get out of debt, but God did it. I thought I'd never get married, but God did it. I thought I'd never have children, but God did it. Testimony after testimony after testimony. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.